Today, the US-China trade smoke and mirrors. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. Oh, and by the way, just before I start, I should mention that the show with Harry Dent has been put back a few days due to logistical challenges. Sorry about that, but I'll keep updated. Now, I remember when I was traveling in Asia some years ago, I had many people tell me about China's ability to think long-term and play for long-term wins. I recalled these conversations this week as 2 days of talks on trade ended in London on Tuesday between the US and China. They are about a third of the way through a 90-day reprieve on the crippling tariffs imposed on each other since April. Whilst the Geneva settlement dramatically reduced those duties, trade remains disrupted. China's exports to the US fell in May by the most since early 2020, when the pandemic shut down the Chinese economy. But amidst all of the noise, it's really all about rare earths and chips, as it's clear there is a growing role for export controls in modern trade warfare, where access to rare metals or tiny microchips can give one economy leverage over a rival. Now, we should note that around 75% of US rare earth imports came from China between 2000 and 2022. That's according to the US Geological Survey. And Philip Kirschlinger, director of iron ore research in Perth in Western Australia, told the BBC that the US and the EU had dropped the ball on recognizing the importance of the rare earths over recent decades as China swiftly developed a monopoly over refinement. China has its foot on the blood vein of US and European defense systems, he added. European trade officials and global car makers have also sounded the alarm in recent weeks on disruption of supplies from China that are critical for jet fighters and electric vehicles. According to the International Energy Agency's Global Critical Minerals Outlook of 2024, global demand for magnet REE nearly doubled between 2015 and 2023, and it has the potential to double again by 2050, in large part driven by the growth of clean energy technologies. That said, prices are trending down. Importantly, China commands the lion's share of rare earths, though the name rare earth is really a bit of a misnomer because they're actually quite abundant in the Earth's crust, but they are difficult to extract and process, and in this sense they are rare. China is the undisputed leader of the critical mineral supply chain, producing about 60% of the world's supply of rare earths and processing almost 90%, which means that it is importing those materials from other countries and processing them, including from Australia. To get technical for a moment, there are around 17 elements in this group, including the 15 so-called lanthianides, which have atomic numbers 57 to 71, plus scandium, atomic number 21, and yttrium, atomic number 39, and include elements like cerium, which is used in catalytic converters, oil refining, and making strong magnets, neodymium, used for making powerful magnets for loudspeakers and computer hard drives and electric vehicles, lanthium, used in cameras and telescopic lenses, carbon lighting and oil refining, and scandium and yttrium, which is used in various applications, including military technologies, aircraft engines, and medical equipment. Last month, China temporarily paused export restrictions targeting 28 American companies following that trade truce reached between Washington and Beijing in Switzerland. China continues to block exports from that country of 7 rare earth metals to the US, Weber, and many of the 28 American companies given a reprieve on dual-use export restrictions are common target of Beijing sanctions because of their activity in the defense sector. Now, the London meetings came together at short notice after Trump last week spoke to Xi for the first time since taking office to stop spiraling claims that both sides had reneged on the Geneva Accord. US officials accused China of stalling magnet exports, while Trump officials angered Beijing with new controls on chip design software, jet engines and student visas. Now, it was a marathon of some 20 hours of negotiations in London, after which US Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said the Chinese had pledged to speed up shipments of rare earth metals critical to US auto and defense firms, while Washington would ease some of its own export controls with a plan to revive the flow of sensitive goods, a framework now awaiting the blessing of Donald Trump and Xi Jinping. The US and Chinese delegations will take that proposal back to their respective leaders. That's according to China's chief trade negotiator, who said the discussions were in-depth and candid. But there were no details, and it appears the discussions also did little to fix issues such as China's massive trade surplus with the US and the belief in Washington that Beijing is dumping goods on its markets. This is perhaps why financial markets were hardly moved by the outcome. That spat showcased the growing role of export controls in modern trade warfare, where access to rare metals or tiny microchips can give one economy leverage over a rival, allowing technology that's critical to Beijing's military advancement to become a bargaining chip would mark a major departure for Washington, which has justified such export controls with national security concerns. And it would also open the door for China to use its dominance of rare earth metals to put a lid on further limits on cutting-edge chips. The US relenting on export controls is, quote, unprecedented, according to Wendy Cutler, a former senior US trade negotiator, now at the Asia Society Policy Institute. Well, she pointed out that this was pretty fragile in terms of an arrangement. The trade war's biggest casualty hasn't been lost sales, but lost trust, according to Joseph Gregory Mahoney, a professor of international relations at Shanghai's East China Normal University. We've heard a lot about agreements on frameworks for talks, he added, but the fundamental issue remains chips versus rare earths. Everything else is a peacock dance. The long game is simply this. Even as many advanced Western countries blithely hollowed out their mining and industrial capability, meaning their ability to source those rare earths was dissipated, China aggressively built and acquired capability to hold the rare earth mining hand. Australia, by the way, holds about 4% of the world's rare earth reserves, positioning it for market growth, that's according to the CSIRO. Now, as part of the recent election campaign, Albanese pledged to invest $1.2 billion in a strategic reserve for critical minerals. But while both China and Australia have rare earth reserves, 90% of rare earth refining, which makes them usable in technology, takes place in China, giving the country significant control over supply. Australia has been investing in refining rare earths as part of its Future Made in Australia plan, aimed at leveraging the country's critical minerals reserves to drive the green transition. Afura Rare Earths, headquartered in Perth, Western Australia, last year received $840 million in funding to create the country's first combined mine and refinery for rare earths. And in November, Australia opened its first rare earth processing plant, also in Western Australia, operated by Lenas Rare Earths. But the country is expected to depend on China for refining until at least 2026, according to the Center for Strategic and International Studies, headquartered in Washington. According to the BBC, analysts say Albanese's proposal is mainly aimed at protecting Australia and its partners from strategic adversaries like China. Alicia Garcia Herrero, chief economist for Asia Pacific at Naxos, told the BBC that Albanese's plan was more sophisticated than previous proposals because it included the ability to sell Australia's resources at moments of economic tension. If China imposes export controls, she added, Australia could begin selling more of its mineral reserves to help lower prices on global markets and loosen the control China has had on setting prices. But she said that Australia still cannot completely replace China. If Australia's goal is to serve the West become more instrumental to the West, especially the US, there are weak spots China can enter. And the most important is refining. So amid the wider noise around the trade issues, rare earths are actually the linchpin. And China holds the aces, at least for now. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.